one of these days is going to be a little different than other days. You know what I'm saying?
I took a song I'm going to play.
Good.
I play for her. And then Lucy's got one. She's
good.
I'm going to play with her first. I'm going to let Lucy sing.
Thank you. That's the first.
Serena goes hang with her, all right.
Miss you.
Oh,
we're good.
Can do it. Right.
Are you God's little weird?
There's no world in waiting. Is it all too much to give? Will you take that, my Jesus? Do you feel my healing? You sing from all your feelings. You build me for somebody.
Thank you, girls. Hey,
he
man.
So good.
Yeah, we'll get that. We was going to play another song. Hey. Come on, Chase.
That's all right. We'll play it next week.
Chase, we're going to get Chase to take up our offering. I know this last Sunday, he come up here on his own accord and grabbed that plate, bought Lucy over it, so I want to let him take up our offering. I'm going to get Brother Patrick turn ask blessings on the offering.
Lord, thank you for this church service today. Lord, thank you for the message you give us this morning, Lord. And we just want to give you all the glory and all the grace.
Yes, Lord.
Give blessing over this offering, Lord, and just help it where it needs to help, Lord, and just take it where it needs to go. And we ask that you just bless each and every one of us as we're about to hear the word from the Lord, from the messenger that was given to us, Lord. And we thank you for giving us him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Patrick.
Say, Sharon wants the privilege to take the kids back there this morning.
Oh, really? Who gets who, Sharon? All right. Got a volunteer.
Oh, good.
That'll be good. All right. Sister Rita, her and Joel, I think they went somebody graduating or something. I don't know, but they're gone on vacation.
Joe's son.
Is he graduating college or something like that?
Medical college, yeah.
So that's where they're at. And I really enjoyed that thing. I'm like Sister Carolyn. I'm popping buttons off my shirt. Serenity and Lucy is singing. Proud of them, proud of Chase. Come up there and took up the offering. Just really glad to see these young people. We're all, I'm telling you, we're all getting closer to the end. And they're going to be picking up the torch and carrying it as far as they can. I don't know how long this thing's going to go. But I like to see these young people involved. I want them coming. I want them to have the opportunity to sing if they want to sing. I want them to have the opportunity to participate if they want to. I want to get these children involved as much as we can. I was very proud of this Vacation Bible School effort. I think it was wonderful. I really enjoyed what little bit I got to be involved in. I got to be there Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday. And I thought it was all good. I think anything in that direction, we need to do more of. Amen. Working with these young people. I appreciate y'all bringing them. And appreciate you being here yourself. We're going to be preaching this morning out of the book of Jonah. And it'll probably be a two-part message. Looking over it this morning, the Lord stirred my heart all week long. It's hard to find.
Yes.
So I'll give you the opportunity there to look for it like me. If you got a Bible, it's got a thumb index, that helps a little bit. It's right in front of Micah, right after Obadiah.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to find. If you got a Schofield Bible, it's page 943. Donnie's got one.
Amen.
Yeah, 943 in the Schofield.
But I cheated. I used index, brother.
Amen. I did too. That's how I got there. We'll just read a few verses here. I'm going to expound on many verses. But we're just going to read the first three verses here real quick. Jonah chapter number 1. And if you haven't found it, that's all right. You can listen to us here. Jonah 1 verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. We'll stop our reading right there. And we're preaching on God's first missionary, and there's a lot of them in here, but I think Jonah could probably be considered God's first missionary. His work was a work like a missionary's work. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer and deliver this message. I believe it'll been a blessing to me just reading over it. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here today personally, Father. Thank you for those, Lord, that wanted to be here today, weren't able to be here. Lord Rita, Lord Joe and Eric, on the road, Lord, traveling. Lord, Brother Mitchell, his health not well. Sister Phyllis, also health in decline. Danny and Tammy Tibbs, her neck, Lord, really giving her problems, Lord. We pray for them. Pray for Mark, Kay,
Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Sue and Dee Dee Bone. We pray, Father, Lord, for Lord James and Star Spray. I miss them, Lord. I wish they start coming again. Pray for James Jr. Pray for all of them, Lord. A lot of them, Lord, struggling, Lord. Pray for their family, Lord, of Quentin. I don't know the circumstances. I just know they're having his funeral Tuesday, having visitation on Monday. Lord, we pray for that family to be having an empty seat there at the house. We pray, Father, Lord, for our little Brenda. We pray, Father, Lord, for continued blessing upon Bruce. Lord, we just pray you bless all, Lord. Pray for Mark and Kane. Pray for all of them, Father. Help them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, several unspoken requests. Ask, Lord, your mercy be multiplied, your grace be given, your blessings be bestowed, and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we preach about God's first missionary. And the first thing we notice about Jonah being a missionary was the call of God. In verse 1 it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and that word was, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26-29, Paul talked about, you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 26, for God hath chosen the foolish, the weak, the base, and even those that are despised. Verse 27, 28, verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Peter said, make your calling and your election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, every missionary has a call of God upon their life. Jonah here gets this call, and for lack of better words, he's not on board with it. He don't like that call. And I got called to preach 32 years ago. I got saved 36 years ago. Everybody kept saying, you've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. Now I had it up to here with that. And for lack of better words, I said the most stupid thing I guess I ever said in my life. I said, I'll tell you what, you let God call me and I will. That's a big mistake. And it was no time. And the call of God came to me. My dad left my mother for another woman, lowest place in my life. Since the I don't know, was that somewhere I didn't want to be doing, something I didn't want to do? I'm telling you, it was a very low spot in my life. And my dad, he left my mom for this woman, was moving his stuff out, went to this apartment and opened the door. And as soon as they opened that door, this woman pulled up down below us, down east, I'll be right back. And left me in that empty room, and that empty room of that house, Ronnie, unknown to me, the voice of God came to me and said, I want you to preach my word. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you with me, that blew me away. I remember just weeping, saying, Lord, are you sure? And on a Wednesday, that was on a Monday. On a Wednesday night, I announced my call to preach at Bethel Baptist Church. I stood up and said, I want y'all to know I've been called to preach. I need your prayers. I sat down, and me and the devil got on a first name basis. There is a call, and you need it. I feel sorry for these trying to do a work of God. And you know, I don't put them down. I thank God for anything that can be done. I mean, Paul talked about some preach Christ for strife, some for envy. He said, nevertheless, Christ is preached. Right. I don't really want to put nobody down, but I also don't want nobody to miss heaven. You know, if somebody won't go, and somebody says they will go, I'm okay with them going. And I tell you what, the more they'll let God be God, the more they'll be able to get done. But Jonah, he didn't really care too much for this call from God to go to Nineveh. Amen. And Jonah's decision about it was to flee. There in verse number 3, and maybe Jonah was unsure of his calling. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure, Peter said there. Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16, he said, for if I do this thing willingly, he said, I have a reward. Verse 17, but I'll tell you what, buddy, woe unto me, he said, if I preach not. Jonah made the decision to run from the call, and I brought this book in here this morning. And for lack of better words, I don't want to be too lengthy today. I did want to read this testimony out of this book. This book's called The Voices from eternity, or voices from the edge of eternity. And this is about a man that also refused to accept the call of God. It said the year was 1893, and the Lord was speaking to David Hilty, a middle-aged, uneducated Mennonite farmer living in Hancock County, Ohio, and God was calling him to yield himself for service of ministry to his brethren. But David could not see how that a holy God could use such a man as he, and he would not surrender. There's a lot of people in this same category. I've met a few of them. A guy called me one time, "Can you meet me at House's Park?" Well, I didn't know what it was. Man, I've been called. I remember one time, guy said, "I need some money." And just so happened that time I had a bunch of money on me, and hope my cousin Barber does, and give him about $100 bill. He said, "Would you mind giving me two? I'll pay back money." I ain't seen him since. But I don't mind it. I really don't. If I've got a good deal, I'll give it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't bother me a bit.
Right.
But he was down. He said, "I heard you as a preacher." I said, "Well, some say I am." But anyway, I had another guy call me. He said he'd been called a preacher. I said, "Best thing you can do is accept it." I said, "There'd be somebody in this hell if you accept that call." I got up on that other one, left the first one undone. But both of them in the house is park right now. And I did get to hear that boy preach. He does a good job too. But he told me, "What did he do?" I said, "You accept that call. Let God help you." He will. So during this time, he's run away from God. And this man's named David Hilty. David bought a different farm, moved into a house where, unknown to him, the former owners had died of tuberculosis. One member of the Hilton family, his name is S-I-L-T-Y, Hilty. One member of the Hilty family, after another, became ill with this terrible disease. Two had bones in their legs infected. The oldest son, Will, developed a lung infection. One day they realized that Will, nearly 21 years old, was dying. His life was slipping away from his body. But his spirit was in such communication with the Lord that he told him he would be going home in 2 weeks. Boy, you get close to God.
Yeah.
You tell somebody what's coming up, amen?
Amen.
I've heard a lot from this guy right here. Yeah. Then little Elizabeth, the baby of the family, just 5 years old. Told several members of the family one morning that she was going to heaven too. Boy, I like that 5 year old going to heaven. We got to get these young ones pointing in the right direction.
Amen.
5 year old. She told the members of the family, "Carolyn, she's going to heaven too." She said, "Jesus is going to take me home right away." Pretty smart 5 year old. She said, as if she was happy to have received an invitation to go first on this journey her brother Will spoke of so often. The parents had planned a trip by team and wagons to go up to Michigan and decided to postpone it a few days until that very day. Elizabeth was quiet and seemed unseemly tired. Toward the evening, she became feverish and ill. About 4 o'clock the next morning, she was gone. To be with her Jesus, who had told her he'd be taking her home right away. We did probably well listen to her a whole lot more, if you know what I mean. The last days, and y'all need to really listen, this is probably the best part of this. The last days of Will's life passed. He continued to praise and give glory to God the Father and Jesus his Son, pleading with all who visited him to be converted and to believe. Through a cracked and bleeding lips, he spoke of the surpassing joy of knowing Jesus. He longed to be released from his pain-filled body. And on the very day he had prophesied that he would go, he fell asleep in death. But the mother's heart could not bear to say goodbye to another child. She refused to be consoled. The brother next to Will also felt torn with grief and kneeling down on the opposite side of the bed from his mother, he also wept and called, "Will, don't die yet." Moments passed, but the hearts of those who mourned, Will's going, could find no calm. Suddenly a sister, standing at the foot of the bed, exclaimed, "Look, Will's eyelids are fluttering." All watched breathlessly as the still form stirred and breathed again, and through those blistered lips, listen to this, "Mother, John, don't weep for me. Don't call me back. I've been with Jesus. And the glory and the wonder of it is so great. Your grief is hurting me. And I ask permission to come and tell you to be glad. I had to promise not to tell you the secrets that God has prepared for His saints. But I want you to know that it's far, far more wonderful than anything you can even imagine." The boy's face shone with a heavenly light as he comforted his parents, his brothers, and his sisters. When he again said goodbye and left, they were able to rejoice in his joy and believe that this was only a temporary separation. Then his father, David Hilty, answered the call to be a minister and a pastor and allow God to change him and use him as a man of God. Well, I'll tell you, I like that. Anybody wants to read this book, I'll let you read it. I don't want to lose it, but you're more than welcome to borrow it. It's a good book. It's charged full of testimonies just like that. Jonah's decision was to flee instead of surrender. And I want you to know there's no fleeing from Jonah's call. Now, there's probably guys on the run right now.
Right.
Donnie, they probably got every excuse to line in the book.
Amen,
you know, that's everybody says, I'm not called to preach. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. The foundation of God said, sure, the Lord knows them that are His. There's men right now know God's got a call on their life, and they're sitting there like a stump, or sitting there like a knot on a log, and they're just holding back what God wants to use. I'm telling you, we need to let ourselves be belonged to God. We're not our own. Hey, we've been bought with a prize. Have an opportunity. Therefore, let us serve with joy of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Jonah said, "I'm going to flee." There wasn't no flee. Look at verse 4. But the Lord, he said here, Jonah, he gets in this boat. He's going to go down to Tarsus. Going to go down to Joppa. And boy, it cost him something. He paid the fare, Brother Jerry. It cost him something running from God.
Yeah.
He went down with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But look what here, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I want you to know, buddy, there was a storm to deal with. Look here in verse 5. There's some fear. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. Nothing become precious. When they realized they was going to die, they stolen gold, they stolen food, hey, they stolen clothes, then nothing else matter. They're trying to survive.
Amen.
You'd be surprised what you'll count precious when death shows up.
Right.
I'm glad I can say I'm great.
Amen.
Amen. I done made preparations yesterday. That day. These mariners are afraid, Cullen. They're calling upon their gods with a little G. Buddy, they're doing everything within their power to make it through this storm. They're lightening the ship. They're throwing everything into the sea. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah's trying to, you get a lot of trouble. I don't know about y'all. You're getting real bad trouble. Sir, you just try to sleep it off, so maybe it'd be better in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad thing, maybe it'd be better tomorrow. Try to sleep your worries away.
this ain't going to go away. The jealous, I'm just going to get down and go to sleep. Maybe somehow it'll go away while I'm sleeping. It ain't going to go away. Jonah's down there. Look here, verse number 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Martin, there's a lot of fear in this. The panic, verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They're panicking right now. Man, this storm ain't going away. It's bigger than they are. I mean, there ain't no getting away from this. This is God coming down upon this missionary Jonah. They come up with a plan. Look at verse 7 through 9. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? But I'm telling you, they wouldn't mention their words, but I'm going to say they probably pretty mad here when they made these statements here. The pleading and the praying and the plan they came up with from verse 13 all the way down to verse 14. Yeah. These men are desperate, Bonnie.
Yeah.
And they said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought was tempest against them. It was out of their hands. I'm telling you, God was going to have His way. This is His missionary. Even though Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, he's going one way or another. I'll be honest with you, buddy. Jonah been better off, say, Lord, I'm ready. I mean, God told in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, who'll go for us? Isaiah raised his hand to hear my sin me. God said, go. He went going, amen. And that's what it ought to be when God called. But Jonah said, not me. And maybe he thought, you know, that he wasn't up to it, that he couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, God knows what's in man. God knows what you can do and what you can't do. He won't ask you to do something you can't do. Paul referred to himself, Bonnie, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1. Paul said, I fought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 26, verse number 9. But I'll tell you what, in Acts chapter 9, when he met Jesus on his way to Tarsus, the Bible says straightway he preached Christ. He didn't take him long at all to get on board. That's what Jonah's going through right now. He's trying to get on board. Amen. But I'm telling you, buddy, the men are rowing hard to bring it to land. But they could not. Verse 14. Therefore they cried unto the Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleaseth thee. I want you to know these men see their predicament. And Jonah realized there's no getting out of this. And Jonah, he's about ready to realize that he's done wrong or done opposite of what he should have done. I can't imagine just how big it is. I'm reading about it in my mind's eye. I'm seeing a ship being tossed to and fro in the water. Looks like a barber up there. And there's men inside this ship. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I can just see that sea just like glass, smooth. Jonah's in the sea and they're in the ship. Jonah thinks he's going to flee. Jonah thinks he's going to go to Joppa, going to go to Tarsus. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. You're talking about preaching. Buddy, Jonah had done some preaching right here in this ship. He didn't even realize he was a preacher. He said, throw me in. I think I left that verse out. He said unto them, verse 12, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Jonah speaking pretty straight right here. For I know that for my sake
This great tempest is upon you. Them men, they didn't want to do that. This wasn't optional. This was going to have to be. And the men tried everything they could. Finally, they did throw Jonah in the sea. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jesus told us that fish was a whale. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Believe it or not, even today, there are men been swallowed up by whales. Some of them been in there 3 days, even more, come out still alive. It's happened quite a bit. I guess God just done that so many it could be done. I don't know why, but there have been several men been swallowed by whales, and somehow they killed the whale and got the man, and the man came out alive. I can't explain it. I just know this. God prepared this fish, and it was a great fish. And to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that great fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus used a reference to that. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. There in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Now, Jonah's having second thoughts about going to Nineveh. And I want you to know, buddy, Jonah, he starts praying to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You know, you get enough trouble, you'll find out you can't pray. I don't know how fluent he was in prayer before, but I'm going to say he's praying pretty good right now. I say there's people in hell right now, Brother Donnie, praying some of the most bitter ground-like prayers that have been prayed.
Mm-hmm.
One more chance, Lord. Just one more chance.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me one more chance. One drop of water. Let up just a little. There's, you know, prayers are meant to be prayed.
No.
But the Bible says, God heareth not sinners. And those down there in hell, they're in there because of sin, not because of God. God died for the sins of the whole world. He don't want nobody to go to hell. God is a God of love, but He's also a God of judgment. And He's going to judge the world. And He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said God will have all men to be saved. All can. All won't. But all can. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He wants you to have a home in heaven. He wants you to go live with Him. Only thing will keep that from happening is if you die in your sin. Jesus said, as I see, I judge. Brother Jerry's first song, nothing but the blood. Exodus chapter 12, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Christ, I'll pass over the Lamb was crucified for us.
Yeah.
Thank God for singing that song. Boy, I'm glad. I thank God for the day the blood was applied to my sins. How do you know it was applied, Brother Eddie? I got the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's wonderful. How that condemnation and guilt to the blood was applied. And I've had the peace of God down for 36 years. And the joy of being saved, I recommend it to everyone. Jonah here, he's praying now. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That's a good place to pray, isn't it? There's people that went off of cliffs and cars. Don't tell them what prayers we'll pray for and hit the bottom. There's people that drove into lakes. God hit me, man. Don is talking yesterday about a guy being up on the rooftop of his house. And he's praying, God help me, God help me. And here comes a boat. He said, oh, Lord's going to take care of me. And he's sitting there, here comes the helicopter, he let down a rope ladder down there to him. He said, that's okay, God's going to take care of me. The water's still coming up, he drowned. He said, God, I thought you was going to take care of me. He said, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. What else you need? Just sometimes, I'm telling you, we pray and we don't even see the answer to the prayer, amen.
Amen.
Jonah, he's praying now, Carolyn. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this part pretty. Pretty serious prayer here. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of fish's belly. I'm going to guess he'd say, Lord, if you just ask me one more time, I'll go. I'm sure he's saying, Lord, what was that? What was that you said? I don't think I heard you real good. I'm telling you. Verse 2, he said, I cried by reason of my affliction. Affliction always gets my attention. I went to the dentist one time. First thing he asked me, Brother James, he said, what's your biggest concern? I said, pain. He said, oh, we get around that. And he shut me in the old cage 3 days before I could drink water. I didn't know he even had a mouth, much less a tooth. He shot me through a bullet and overcame Dr. Bowman. I'll tell you what, buddy, I liked him. Here, he said, we can get around that. And he did too, buddy. Mm-hmm. Jonah cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord. You getting enough trouble? Yeah. You call 1-800-GOD. Can we talk? Are you busy? Mm-hmm. It's me. I need to talk to you. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It won't be actually like that. It'll be like this. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
Thank the Lord.
Boy, he's never very far from us, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Bible said we'd find him. We feel that. I mean, he's close enough. It's like this. That's how mm-hmm. close he is. You say, Lord, I need your help. I need it right now. Jonah. Boy, he's starting to understand now that there's no running from this call. Listen, this call was serious. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou saidst, thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah's got the message now. That he's supposed to go to Nineveh. I want you to know, buddy, the Word of God has prevailed. And Jonah here, boy, you talking about ready to get on board? God has his attention. I look down there in verse number 4. Jonah says, I will look again toward thy holy temple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's ready now. He said, I'm ready to get on board. Whatever you say, I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
Look down here, verse number 9. Jonah says, verse number 9, I will sacrifice unto thee. With a voice of thanksgiving I'll pay that which I vowed. Oh boy, he's ready to pay his tithes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm ready to get right.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do whatever you bid me to do, amen. Boy, he got on board. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And that fish vomited out old Jonah. Verse 10, up on the dry land. I guess you could say that whale was a limousine. It took Jonah from the ship to the shore. I like that part, spit him out on dry land. I'm going to say he probably hit the ground running, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, Jonah is pictured here as God's first missionary. And we'll preach the rest of this message next Sunday. But I do want to tell you this, I don't know you, you don't know me. But if God is bidding you to do something, do it.
Right.
You never know what God can do. And somebody say, Lord, hear my, if you can use me, that's where I am.
Right.
What's that old song? I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. That may have been what Jonah was singing down in the way. He probably said, hey, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to go. But whatever God bids you to do, don't underestimate His part in what He asks you to do. I'm not going to elaborate on that. I could. But I'll tell you what, you know what God's dealing with you about. Don't think about what you can do. Think about what you can't do.
Right.
Let God be God. He can only be God if you'll let Him.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this first part of this message. Lord, we're looking forward to preaching the second part. And I pray, Lord, Father, you bless your children, Lord, today. I do feel, Lord, your presence here today. I believe your Holy Spirit has went out in this message, Lord, today. Now I pray for those listening by way of the live stream, those will be listening by way of the internet message we got on there, Lord, the internet site. I pray all of them, Lord, to get on board, whatever, Lord, you bid them to do. And we give you praise and glory. Bless you, Lord, your blessed will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Again, Brother Jerry, maybe Sister Sharon, help him just a verse invitation on him. But I'll tell you what you need to do. Surrender all. Let it go, wherever it is. Let the doubt go. Let the problems go. Let God show Himself to be God. Somebody said faith will scare you to death and never let you down. Amen?
Amen.